Blog Talk Radio. Oh, that was a rough entry. Good evening and welcome to Madame Perry Salon. And not just to Madame Perry Salon, but to another Halloween special. This is 2016, and if you don't think that it could get any spookier, remember the election this year. But we're not going to talk about that kind of scary stuff. We've got far more delicious things to bring to you. This is your host, cruise director, and head witch, Madame Perry, and I've got all kind of wonderful stories and songs and poems, and as you know, I know the most marvelous people, and some are quite as spooky as they are entertaining. So to begin, I think I'm going to choose Mr. Hugh Cornwell. After all, what's more Halloween than someone from a band called The Stranglers? And this is from the CD Totem and Taboo, and it's called Under Her Spell.
Thank you.
spell, my favorite strangler, under her spell. And Hugh Cornwell, if you know, you may not know, he also writes, he is touring now, but he also writes some mysteries and some psychological thrillers. Hugh Cornwell, under her spell. Next I have for you a very bizarre, haunting poem of an unusually eerie sort. And it's from author Sherry Meeks. It's titled Beautiful Food.
First, middle dining in the summer. The groove and taste of meats baked to a marvelous tinder. Harps keep calm when the young cry uncle. Fried skins turn in onions. No pork, please. Allergies. Slow down stubborn pounds. Spice that makes you seem slimmer. Habits smart and sap energy while making one look years younger. All natural fix with half the fat. Soreness leaves on day three. Tired. News confides less clogged arteries and better sleep. Healthy suppers link. The phone cures. Pass the thyroid, please.
All right. And that was Beautiful Food from author Sherry Meeks. And look for some more mysterious things to come from her very, very soon. And what could better follow that than Daryl Rhodes and Fresh Meat?
Under the sheet, the fresh meat for the family. Slow down, something children can't do. Get a good view, cause Nick, it might be you. The fresh meat. They're having a show at the funeral home. Come on in and look for free. You can come and stare at the bodies there and take a good look to see. Yeah.
Well, yes, fresh meat from the marvelous Daryl Rhodes. There is no one like him at all. That is We're going to play something else from Daryl, too, later from his first CD, which was called Burgers from Heaven. And Daryl's also on the road. You might want to check him out very soon. Now, how about another story? Now, this is from Mark Allen Gunnels. Mark Allen Gunnels was a guest on Madam Perry's show several months back. He writes some deliciously haunting stories with all kind of nasty, spooky creatures inside, and he's one of my favorite new authors. So here's one of his Halloween stories. It's called The Pumpkin Patch, and he's going to tell you a little bit about it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Allen Gunnels. I was very happy when I was asked if I wanted to participate in this event. And even though I can't be there live, I definitely wanted to read a Halloween story. I love Halloween. I've never outgrown the joy of the holiday. And every October, it has become a tradition that I write Halloween-themed stories. I actually have a couple of Halloween-themed short story collections, Dark Treats and Halloween House of Horrors, that are on the market. This story I'm going to read to you does not appear in either of them, as it is a story I just wrote for this Halloween season. I hope you all will enjoy it. It is entitled The Pumpkin Patch. 5-year-old Timothy Shaw giggled as he bounded through the pumpkin patch, winding his way around the orange gourds. "Timmy, get your behind back here right now," his mother called after him. "You're going to get your feet all tangled up in the vines and fall flat on your face." Timothy stopped in his tracks and began making his way back to his parents, his eyes still darting around from one pumpkin to another, his expression awed as if he were in a magical land full of miraculous wonders. It had been his idea to come to the pumpkin patch. 3 days ago, his parents had introduced him to It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and Timothy had become entranced by the image of Linus and Sally sitting in the pumpkin patch. When his father mentioned there was a patch on the outskirts of town, Timothy began a campaign of nagging and pestering to get his parents to take him. They argued they'd already bought a half dozen pumpkins from the grocery store, but Timothy persisted until they finally caved in. "Selection isn't that great," his father was saying, inspecting some of the gourds. "Looks pretty picked over." His mother snorted. "That's what happens when you go to a pumpkin patch the afternoon of Halloween. We're lucky there's anything left at all." Timothy heard all this, but it didn't really register. His reason for wanting to come to the patch had nothing to do with picking out an actual pumpkin. He was hoping to catch a glimpse of the great pumpkin. An old man in overalls approached his parents, asking if he could help them. The man wore a name tag, but Timothy couldn't read it. While his parents were distracted, he edged away from them and began exploring the pumpkin patch again. He followed a path that wound around a copse of trees, his parents now out of sight, and came to an abrupt halt, a tiny gasp escaping his lips. A few feet in front of him was the largest pumpkin he'd ever seen. It was almost as tall as him, and as big around as a beach ball. He thought if the thing was hollowed out, he could probably fit inside. He approached the massive gourd, reaching out a hand and placing it on the rough, rounded surface. The pumpkin was surprisingly warm to the touch, and it seemed to vibrate as if a low-grade electrical current ran through it. Timothy let out a startled squeak and backpedaled 2 steps when the pumpkin moved under his fingers. He considered that he may have imagined it, but as he watched, the thing moved again, rocking forward then rolling back. "The great pumpkin," he whispered to himself. That had to be the answer. It was Halloween. This was a pumpkin patch. The great pumpkin was about to hatch out of this giant gourd. Timothy moved closer to the pumpkin again, his hands clasped in front of his chest as if in prayer. His breathing was soft and reverent. Without warning, the top of the pumpkin exploded outward, pieces of shell flying like shrapnel, the sticky innards splattering all over the boy. A particularly large and foul-smelling chunk struck Timothy right in the mouth, adhering to his face as if it were a glop of glue. He reached up to pull it away, but it wouldn't budge. In fact, it seemed to harden and cement itself to his skin. Becoming frantic, fearing suffocation even though he could still breathe through his nose, he tried screaming for his parents, but all that came out was a muffled mumbling. He tugged and yanked at the gag that covered his mouth, but it wouldn't be moved. A slithering sound brought his attention back to the shattered pumpkin. From the jagged opening at the top, long, slimy tentacles came winding out like snakes covered in mucus. Timothy tried to scream, with no greater success, and turned to run away, back to his parents. Before he'd made it even 3 steps, he felt something tug at his right ankle, and he went sprawling forward. He got his hands up, but not in time to save his chin from banging into the hard-packed dirt. He bit into his tongue, and his mouth began to fill with blood. Since his lips were sealed shut, he had no choice but to swallow it. He felt something tighten around his ankle and begin dragging him backward. Glancing over his shoulder, he saw that one of the tentacles had a hold of him and was pulling him toward the pumpkin, which seemed to loom even larger than before. He dug his fingers into the dirt and clawed at the ground, trying to pull free of the tentacle, but then another grabbed his left ankle and he was lifted into the air, hanging upside down. He dangled over the maw of the pumpkin for a second before the tentacles released him and he fell into the gourd, his screams resounding only inside his own head. "Timmy," his mother shouted as she rounded the copse of trees and saw the boy standing with her back to him, staring at a ruined pumpkin. With a sigh of relief, she hurried over to him. "Hi, Mom," he said in a strangely hollow voice, not looking up at her. She glanced at the misshapen pumpkin. From the size of it, it may have once been prize material, but it now had a sunken, deflated look, and the top was missing, revealing its soupy innards and emitting a nauseating stench. "Come on," she said, taking the boy's hand. "Your father and I found a pumpkin that should do. Let's get you back home and into your costume." She led Timothy back down the path, not noticing the small smile that curled his lips or the orange glow that emanated from his eyes. And there you are, just a little Halloween creepiness. I hope you enjoyed it, and enjoy the night.
Mademoiselle from gay Paris sailed the Atlantic Sea, a fortune for to marry. John Palmer was her bridegroom's name. Netting his estate was her aim. What lurked inside Annie's 4-foot frame? A demon wrapped up, oh so pretty. Annie Palmer, white witch of broke all by the sea, luring men with hopes of love, was her cottage industry. Her husband quickly made her yawn. She missed the nightlife of Paris. Saw little use for dull old John. Widowhood soon set her free. It's clear that some fools never learn. 3 husbands did she take. Her taste then took a darker turn. The slave boys of her estate. Sugar cane and homicide, a mean self-widow maker. Voodoo magic was her guide, made for a busy undertaker.
Summoned
slaves into her bed. was dead, Miss Annie, so easily bored. The plantation overseer had fondness for his daughter. In turn, she loved her husband, blood approved of by her father. But Annie called the boy to her room. By dawn, she'd set him to his doom. The poor daughter lost her mind. Her papa vowed vengeance for his kind. Into Annie's chambers he did burst horrid shrieks of bloody red. Servants shook and feared the worst. When calm returned, they both lay dead. Annie Palmer, white witch of Rose Hall by the sea, luring men with hopes of love, was her cottage industry. Sugarcane and homicide, a mean self-widow maker, fit to be the devil's bride, if only he would take her.
Annie Palmer, welcome here to the attic of your fate. Only 7 letters have we here, but just for you, we've added 8. All the smoke is killing me.
Yes, 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 indeed. That was White Witch of Jamaica by Veronique Chevalier. Veronique, before that, of course, was The Pumpkin Patch, read to you by the author, Mark Allen Gunnels. Look for his Halloween collections and his short stories, especially Flowers in a Dumpster. Now, let's see, what do I have next for you? What kind of creepy... What about a little tune about vengeance? It's called Forget Me Not by Kim Meeks.
Everybody knows you if they only knew.
Wow, Forget Me Not. Yes, that deserves another whip clap. Forget Me Not. Now that's a tale of love gone wrong and sweet revenge from Kim Meeks. And that is on her EP, Forget Me Not. Actually, I don't think we will forget Kim, especially after a song like that. Okay, so that was Forget Me Not from Kim Meeks, and just before that was White Witch of Jamaica by the fabulous Veronique Chevalier. And now, time for another deliciously dark, creepy, spooky, haunting poem. And this is from another one of Madame Perry's favorites, a poet named Rick McIntyre. You may know him. And Rick's poem, well, it seems to be a mixture, a twisting of two haunting tales. But I think you'll figure it out when he reads Letting Ghost. And this is Rick McIntyre.
It was the weekend of the Hampshire Festival of the Spoken Word, and by 1 a.m. the first night on an unlit back road during a torrential rainstorm, I was well and truly lost. The signs were all there, and if I had read them for what they were, I would have seen it coming. But it's one thing to go looking for ghosts, another when you find one. I could blame it on the night visions, the high beams bouncing off the fog, assure myself that I was stressed, lost, going through a divorce, vulnerable to the tricks a mind can wish on itself. I could tell myself I didn't see her. But she was there, kneeling on the drop-off side of a rain-swept switchback in full bridal gown and veil, the train awash across the road behind her. Now the fog was playing with my headlights, seeming to be solid, then sifting sideways as the light angled off, but she did not, still kneeling there until she did not move from my sight so much as she was just where she had been. The fan vent blew cold in my face. I had set it on heat defrost. I checked, and then my car threatened to stall out, and I said aloud, I do not want to break down here. And then I drove past Cemetery Hill Road, which is a road but also a reference point, a doorway. You see, I expected to encounter one ghost this weekend. It was here in 1985 that Virginia McLaughlin broke my heart on the steps of the Edward F. Johnson Library and later finished the job in her bed. My heart turned shades paler than dead, and I fled, leaving that ghost behind me. We had been engaged until, quoting one of my poems, she said, "Don't say married," and all the wedding dress-up I imagined slipped through the veil between our worldviews, like fog, still playing with the headlights of the same lost boy on a different rainy night. And I swore this weekend I would not stand outside what had been her dormitory, and I would not stare up at what had been her window. And of course I did. I looked up through that glass like I might grasp her back through one last glimpse of her ghost. I needed to know if it still hurt down there either. But it made me feel guilty and sad to have seen one ghost on a roadside at random while knowing of the ghost I abandoned here 17 years ago to the day, as it waited for me through all those nights to own up, to come back, to accept it now for who I was then and let go, set us both free. I don't know what I saw on the roadside that rain-sick Friday night any more than I know whether Virginia will ever hear this poem or care. It might matter. It might not. It doesn't change anything. I think we only see ghosts so that by seeing them, we let them go so that we can keep moving on to somewhere better in our lives without dragging our ghosts along with us and without leaving them behind.
Wedding Ghost by Rick McIntyre. Thank you so much, Rick. And now, here's a song, another one from Daryl Rhodes called She's a Mortician's Dream. The bizarre, the fantastically brilliant, sickly, demented, and yet, oh, so Stygian world of Daryl Rhodes. And that was She's a Mortician's Dream Come True. All right, how about a story in a song for this one? Now, you all know our Victorian steampunk chamber favorites, Valentine Wolfe. And this is from their newest CD called A Child's Bestiary. And the song is Peter the Wolf from Valentine Wolfe.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Was a Friday night when one like no other with lightning strikes and thunder. When a sound to beat the drowned of the pounding, and no doubt we found out just what made the sound. See a hound pounding out made sounds that drowned every ounce of the thunder and sounds from the clouds. A pound so deep, our insides were shaken and taken aback when the beast kept breaking. Three beastly heads all barking back, their rumbling bass made the walls crack. Bricks tumbled down, and then with the castle surrounding the beast. Down in the rafters, out of the timbers came pounds and shivers on spines of young babes, no clutching their mothers. The base welled up, the walls came down, the beast got up, and hell went down. We grappled on top of the toppled remains of the castle that tumbled under the strain. The sound that he made shook me right to my kidney. I thought I was lost when it suddenly hit me. Pop, lock, and drop that bass. Run the scenes into place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. Music for the steampunks. Lock and drop that bass. Run DMC in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up with music for the steampunks.
Okay.
now that hound took a pounding, astoundedly gave back a pounding, confounding me. I dodged, I weaved, I skimmed, I skirmed, but the beast had a head whenever I turned. I couldn't get free, I couldn't get out. I turned to watch on, go on, get out. I'll keep on busy while you get away. The music lived on, my beats must play. So we clashed, we collided, igniting the spark. The bass, the beast, the beat, the art. This wasn't a beast, but the bass that was beating. You can't beat the bass, or the bass that the beast brings. So I stood tall and I let the beast eat me. The bass started beating. The second that he bit me, you can't kill the pop lock. I'm like Obi-Wan, so let the beast drop and pop lock. Pop, lock, and drop that bass. Run the streams into place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. Music for the steampunks. Lock and drop that bass. Run DMC in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up with music for the steampunks.
know the lights are on. But I don't know who's inside. When I walk through that door, tell me, who am I gonna find? But I keep on hoping, I keep on dreaming, maybe you'll heal. I keep on trying, oh, keep on praying, at my strength ain't gonna let me down.
Association time at the Blue Ridge Women's Correctional Facility. From Bone Song by Bunny Goodjohn. Deaf Brenda's telling us about the time her husband smacked her with a cockatiel's cage stand, how sound closed down that night, and yet her memory holds the parrot's scream. She recalls slow feathers, tiny gray curls landing on her yellow fun fur slippers. We lean in. She's telling our story, and we love how they all start happy with sass and drinks. She threw his sorry ass outside, piled furniture against the door, and then took her whiskey and the kids to bed, slept sound despite the ricochet of words against the trailer siding. There is no recollection of clubbing him with the iron. But there it was, bloody, and shining on the deck. What can I say, she said, her yard full of police and plastic toys, her hands already clasped behind her back. Drink brings a crazy bitch to fuck up my life. My turn for tales, but I'm just here for plain old DUI. So I tell the girls of Rita, patron saint of suffering, whose mouth was home to bees that buzzed behind her teeth that left her tongue unstung, a saint I'd forgotten until Deaf Brenda described her tinnitus as a bee song. The rec room hums and we're all lost, joining drunken dots of our own blackout biography. We're haunted by mouths that have always swarmed with bees, homesick for a time when we were too blessed, too young, to know the treachery of swallowing.
All right, that was the poem, Association Time at the Blue Ridge Women's Correctional Facility. It was written by Bunny Goodjohn. It's from her book, Bone Song. And it's read there by actor Shane Stedham. And before that, The Lights Are On by Denton Perry. And before that, Pound of the Baskervilles by Pop Lock Holmes. I love Pop Lock Holmes. I just love him. And before that, Killy Dwyer, who was on last night's show, the feature, and Hypochondriac, which came after Valentine Wolf and Peter the Wolf from their newest CD, A Child's Bestiary. And since this is another Halloween show come to an end, I certainly have enjoyed it. I hope you'll follow here on Blog Talk Radio so you can get all Madame Perry's shows, because I try to bring you the most fabulous people. Also, you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher to Madame Perry's Salon. And I think we will close out with Ray D'Africo, because this is a Halloween show. And Ray has a song that was called Something in the Night. And remember, all Madame Perry's Halloween shows are meant to be nice little soundtracks that you can keep whenever you're reading some kind of a gothic mystery or scary story or just having one of those nights. Something in the Night, Ray D'Africo, from his newest CD, Solo a Go Go.
Wow.
Halloween special for 2016. Thanks for joining us. You know you can download this on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. It's just a little background entertainment for your spooky, dark, eerie, Fijian All Hallows Eve festivities. And remember, be good to each other. Let's help each other keep our groove where we want it to go. I love you. This is Madam Perry. Good night.